This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Danger Zone is definitely a great way to describe the tension and the angst of sudden death. And we had two game sevens in hockey go into sudden death on Sunday. And so we couldn't have asked for a better exclamation point or a more dramatic finish to the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And true to form, the NBA doesn't want to be outdone. So we end up with seven game sevens in one weekend. It's never happened before. And if a girl's got to come back from the beach and return to work, I suppose that is a good way to do it. It's an easy re-entry, a soft landing spot, if you will. So yes, back from the beach with seven game sevens on my mind and a whole lot of catching up to do. It was good to hear from so many of you over the course of the last week, though I didn't see your tweets or your Facebook posts until the last couple of days because I did share photos on Twitter. I'm a big fan of cloud photos and sunset photos and, of course, animal photos. While I'm on vacation, I don't check notifications or mentions or anything like that. It's my break, as you can understand. Twitter is a very real and ever-present element of work, and so I needed a vacation from that as well. But yeah, lots of photos up. So far, only on Twitter, A-Law Radio, but also we're going to get them up on Facebook. Jay's going to help me with that. Don't ask. It's a long, convoluted story. It's all Facebook's fault. But in the meantime, you can answer our show question because we thought this would be a great way to immerse you in the Game 7 conversation. And I know all of our options, it's not an exhaustive list. And not all of these teams lost in a Game 7. So the Philadelphia 76ers didn't even get to a Game 7 against Miami. I blame James Harden. How about you? So which team has managed the most impressive playoff flop thus far? And let's not use officiating and injuries as an excuse because that happens to every team. The defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, I would not call their game seven against the Celtics a flop, though their three-point shooting certainly was impressive in for all the wrong reasons. They were without Chris Middleton, but the Celtics were without Robert Williams. And actually played a game in these playoffs without Marcus Smart. The Miami Heat have been without Kyle Lowry. Hello, Victor Oladipo. A lot of it is about depth and leadership and preparation. And yes, next man up. You cannot win a championship in any sport with only the players who start. You have to have a bench. You have to have guys who come off the bench. We've seen that. We've seen that with both the Celtics and the Bucks. At different points in this series, right? Pat Connaughton off the bench with big playoff performances. Grayson Allen off the bench. Peyton Pritchard for the Celtics. We know Grant Williams was in the starting lineup and would not allow the Celtics to take him off the court on Sunday, but that's because of the Robert Williams situation, right? So every team, I could go down the list, every team has got guys who are injured, missing all or part of the playoffs. That's life in the fast lane in the springtime. And no, you don't get to blame officials either because that's a cop-out and not even a good excuse. It's lame. You get to a game seven, all bets are off. Somehow the Phoenix Suns missed the memo that it was game seven. What the heck? I've never seen a game seven that lopsided. I've seen blowouts. We've all seen blowouts. but that lopsided? Are you kidding me? Here's the only number you need to know. Don't pay attention to the stats. 46. As in, the Suns actually trailed the Mavericks at home in a game 7 by 46 points. What? What's worse, trailing at home in a game 7 when you're the top seed and you have everything going your way, trailing by 46, or no hitting your opponent and still losing? Jay, what's worse? What would you, if you have to be a member of one of those teams, and you, it's going to be embarrassing and humiliating regardless. Which, I don't know, which locker room, which club, which clubhouse is less humiliated?
I mean, both are terrible. But if I throw a no hitter and I lose and you lose the game, where do you come back?
Demoralizing.
Where do you go from there? I mean, because you literally did everything you could to not allow the team to score or even get on base, and you still did not win the
game. It's rock bottom.
It just does not get much worse.
No, it doesn't. But back to the Phoenix Suns, because we knew the Reds were capable of pretty much anything demoralizing this season. Congratulations, Cincinnati Reds. It's only happened a handful of times in baseball history. I mean, at least you're not the Giants, who lost when Albert Pujols was pitching the ninth.
Pretty embarrassing, too.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's plenty of, from the category of you can't make this stuff up, to go around on this Monday morning. The Suns trail by 46 at home. They missed all but 6 of their 23 shots in the first quarter against the Mavericks. Meanwhile, the Mavericks were locked in. They were playing freer, happier. Just take my word for it. That was evident. Freer, happier, less pressure, more energy. All of that plays into it. None of it measured by analytics. So don't even try to offer me a math formula that tells you the Suns were about to get curb stomped at home in a game 7. As if you need extra motivation, which of course you do not in a game 7. As if you need extra motivation, you have the unfinished business. Chris Paul finally winning a ring. Best team all year. Let's go, men. Let's go. I was almost said the other word. Well, I didn't almost say it, but I thought it. How does this happen? They were chasing all game long, and you could see it. You could see it in body language as bad became worse. They never recovered. They got popped in the mouth. They never recovered. Luka Doncic had as many points in the first half as the entire Suns roster, and he enjoyed talking about that after the game.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what do you?
I see it.
What do you think of that?
I think our defense was amazing, but I mean, yeah, that was good. But like I said, you know, this is a team win, team effort. Today was just incredible. I never seen a performance on Game 7 like this. I can't remember when was the last time somebody went to the away game and did this. So I'm really proud of what we did today.
Still kind of shocking, right? Like, the best team in basketball all season.
Yeah.
Got them, give them credit for the season they had. We were confident coming into the game. Like, we definitely believed we could win the game. I don't think anybody was calling a 40-point, you know what I'm saying, victory, though.
Jason Kidd made the joke that, hey, everyone said it would be a blowout, with a giant smile on his face. Ha ha. Luka doesn't even have to play the fourth quarter. How about that? I mean, maybe played a couple of minutes, but he only logged 30 minutes. Trust me, that's a big deal. If that sounds odd, in a game 7, your star, your superstar, only has to play 30 out of 48 minutes. And he still has 35 points. He hits a half dozen threes, pulls down 10 rebounds, dishes out 4 assists, logs a couple of steals. There was no answer for Luka. But the thing is, the Suns didn't need an answer for Luka. They just needed to show up. Maybe. This is all I can think. Maybe it's because Dirk Nowitzki was in Phoenix. Maybe. Maybe that was the secret weapon, the not-so-secret weapon.
I think it gave us, everybody in this team, a lot of confidence when you see Dirk sitting courtside and away game. So I think everybody really appreciate him because, you know, Dirk is Dirk. He's been through everything. He's been a champion, so he knows it. So I think every player and every coach is appreciate that he's there.
We just came in and executed our game plan. Guys, again, we talked about it before, have played in game seven. On the road in L.A., and I thought they came out as if it was just another game and played it at a high level.
Whoopsie.
Offensively and defensively.
Actually, he was talking about his team. Initially, though, I thought he was talking about the Suns. I thought they came out and played it like it was just another game. Honestly, I'm not even sure they treated it like it was just another regular season game. This wasn't just the worst game they played all year. It might have been one of their worst performances in playoff history. And just in general, with everything on the line, how do you not come out with more energy? How do you not fix it? It's not just about shots falling. Anybody who plays basketball, watches basketball, knows that sometimes the shots drop, sometimes they don't. Grant Williams missed 5 of his first 7 threes for the Celtics on Sunday. So he takes 18 of them. Now it's become the running joke in Boston. But you know what they don't do? Rely on only Grant Williams. Yes, it's a total team effort. The Mavericks had the team approach. They were all in from the jump. The Suns did not. They were disjointed. They were chasing. They were a day late and a dollar short. They were a step slow on everything that the Mavericks did. It was a really one-sided game of hot potato. No, wait. That's not the game I'm thinking of. The one where there's somebody in the middle who's trying to get to the... What's the name of that game?
Monkey in the Middle.
Monkey in the Middle. It was a terrible game of Monkey in the Middle. And the Suns defenders, they couldn't get to the ball. They were running their hardest. But the ball would disappear the second they arrived on the scene. Oh, it's gone again. Oh, wait, look. It's a wide open shot. Just brutal. And that weighs on you. And all the pressure was on the Suns, of course. All the pressure on Chris Paul, of course. And maybe you brilliant fans out there could tell me that you saw the writing on the wall. It was happening. I don't know. Devin Booker wasn't tired. He missed a bunch of playoff games, so he should have been a little fresher. Nobody was worried about Chris Paul being old when he was carrying the Suns in the fourth quarter of their first playoff series. Funny how perspective changes. No, they just played like crap. They weren't ready. You could say that the shots weren't falling, but it's not that. They weren't ready. You cannot come out of the gate like that and get punched in the mouth and not respond. You know what they're not? Well, first of all, they're not moving on. They're also not championship caliber. If that's how you respond to a game seven, you're not made to be a champion. You certainly weren't born to be a champion. And somehow, everything that happened in the last year didn't prepare you to be a champion. I would have thought there was no team more prepared because of the Suns' painful loss last year after being 2-0 up against the Bucks. But man, even going back to the bubble year, everything they've worked and accomplished and achieved and built since then was supposed to be a crescendo to this championship. Nope. Talk about impressive flops. And Chris Paul, of course, is going to bear the brunt. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. I'm back. The key card still works. I mean, I guess that's a good news, right? For, I hope, most of you. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. It's good news for me because I got to hire a landscaper to trim all the trees that are growing wild on my property. It would take me a ladder, probably some injuries, maybe spiders in the hair. It would take me a lot of frustration and a lot of time. And so I've decided I'm going to bite the bullet for the first time in my life, hire a landscaper only to trim trees and bushes. That's it. I can mow my own lawn. So I'm going to need to get paid. So key card still works. That was the whole point of that. I know my tangents, they're back with me as well from the beach. Chris Paul ends up with 10 points, 4 assists. Devin Booker at 11 points. So there's that.
It's just a tough game, you know, all season long. We try to lean on our defense. Tonight, our defense wasn't there. Our offense wasn't there either. So I think Coach said a lot of it. You know what I mean? You play all season to be in this situation and didn't work out for us. Probably no greater message than get back to work. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you at least want a shot at it. You know, we was one of, 16 teams in the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's a great regular season, but we didn't, you know, reach our goal. So I don't think anything matters except for everybody just trying to get a little bit better for next season.
Even though last year we were a little bit closer, it hurts. But as a team, you know, we just have to own it. You know, you have to look at this and use it as motivation, just as we did with the finals last year. And, you know, take that into the summer with you.
I just told them how bad I hurt for them. I know they didn't want to play that way. We basically played the worst game of the season tonight. And that group has a lot of character and integrity. And I know how bad they wanted it. We just could not execute tonight. I talked to them about, you know, all year long we've been hearing all the praises, winning all the games and setting records and all that stuff, and we've been, you know, taking it. Well, tonight you got to take it. That's a part of manhood. You know, there are days where it doesn't go your way and you got to stand right there and show character and integrity and take it. That's life.
I love Monty Williams for that and so much more. He is a leader. There is incredible character in him, his coaching staff, the locker room, to be sure. And he's right. Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes you suck at life. It's just true. Sometimes I suck at radio. Sometimes we all stink at whatever skill or career we have chosen. Sometimes we just stink at being people. It's just, we're imperfect. It's just astounding that it could all happen for every single one of these teams, for these Suns collectively as a team. It all happens on the same day. Just as winning is contagious, this pressure, this angst, that's contagious too. And you have to think there was some nerves. I don't know if that's not the reason why they got pummeled so badly. They never recovered. And that's the part that blows me away. It's the NBA. Everyone makes a run. You can get down by 10 points and it's no big thing. They never recovered. Where was the leadership there? Where was the resiliency? Where was the anything, the character that we're talking about? It wasn't there. They never responded. And that, I think, is the part that blows me away the most. Yeah. The Mavericks were sure to come out with juice and energy and make a bunch of shots. Great. That's basketball. Why didn't the Suns have a response at all? Their response was to score 10 points in the second quarter. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. I've done a lot of women's and men's college basketball games in my career. A lot of mid-majors. Do you know what's really hard to do? And I use women because women have gone back to quarters in college. You know what's really hard to do? Only score 10 points. In the NBA, that's nearly unheard of. 10 points? 10? I mean, you could play 4-on-5 and probably still get lucky with a couple of three-pointers. Except not them. Not last night. So who is the most impressive playoff flop in the postseason to this point? Suns, Sixers, who didn't even get to a game 7. You all know who I blame. Is it the Maple Leafs? We're talking a little hockey because of the weekend. Now, I know they lost to the 2-time defending champion Lightning, who are made for this. But it was in Toronto, and the Maple Leafs have made a habit of this. 5 straight years in which they have lost a winner-take-all game in the opening round. This is why Maple Leafs fans will tell you that they are the team They are the fan base, excuse me, that is most in need of some good news. First team in baseball, basketball, or hockey. So first team in MLB, NBA, or NHL history to ever lose a winner-take-all game in the opening round of the playoffs 5 consecutive years. So, Suns, your misery has got some company. And there's plenty, of course, because the Penguins could be in that category, too. They were up 3-1 and had multiple goal leads over the Rangers until losing in sudden death in New York last night. We put up a poll because, you know, this is what we do in sports radio. We talk about misery. We hop on pop. We pile on. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, it was pretty astounding. 7 game sevens, and each of them had a very distinct and unique feel and flavor. I mean, talk about coming back from vacation. Hit the ground running. I don't even have time to tell you stories. I will. I'll get to them this week. There's a horseback riding story you've got to hear to believe. Oh, and the photos. You got to see those too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Front and drops. Lindholm shoots it up. Sure. Makes a right shoulder save. The draw. Scores! And the sea of red erupts.
It was awesome. You know, it was a tight series throughout the whole week or 2 weeks here, and came right down to the end there in game 7 overtime. And like you said, I mean, dream about stuff like that, you know, scoring in a game 7 in overtime. So nice play by Chucky behind the net, found Lindy in the front, and I got the rebound.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You hear me say it a lot this time of the year. It applies to both hoops and hockey. Offensive rebounds are damn sexy. And Johnny Gaudreau with an offensive rebound, and the Flames were relentless. If not for one superhero performance by Dallas goalie Jake Ottinger, excuse me. I knew I was going to do that because our former producer was Dave Ettinger, and I knew at some point I was going to say it like that. Sorry.
Stars goalie Dave Ettinger.
I've said it. Stop it. I've done so well all night long. I've talked about Jake Ottinger. We've talked about Jake Ottinger. In fact, if you missed my conversation with Mike Leslie of WFAA ABC TV in Dallas, he joined us in our first hour, and we got his reaction to the thrill of victory, really a curb stomp, for the Dallas Mavericks in Game 7, but then the agony of a sudden death defeat in Calgary for the Stars. And the part that's so amazing is they wouldn't have even gotten to sudden death if not for 64 saves by Ottinger, 23 years old. And when Goudreau takes the offensive rebound, it goes top shelf. So it's kind of over his left shoulder. I'm not sure if he saw it, but he definitely didn't have time to react. He's the one who's crying, feeling terrible. And the Flames going through the handshake line, they pick him up. They encourage him. Every single one of the Calgary Flames take an extra second or two to speak specifically to Jake. By all rights, by all accounts, this should have been a Flame steamroll. But it's not because of Ottinger. And so really amazing not only to see the respect for him in the handshake line, but also to recognize this is what happens when you leave it all out there. Everything you've got. Your heart, your soul, your blood, your sweat. And then sometimes there are tears. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 64 saves for Jake Ottinger. So remember the name.
You know, it's nice when you can just kind of get in the flow and just, you know, start making saves and feeling good. I think, you know, honestly, I think the guy on the other end had a tougher job almost. Like, you don't really get many shots and then you get graded and stuff like that.
That's funny. You don't really have many shots. You're kind of bored. You're just hanging out. I don't think he meant to throw shade at his own team, but it kind of sounded like that. Well, good for him. I know they lost, but it was a performance for the ages. And now you've got the Battle of Edmonton, or the Battle of Alberta, I should say. Edmonton, Oilers, Calgary, Flames in the Western Conference semifinals. Interesting to hear the reaction of Calgary head coach Daryl Sutter on playing Edmonton in the next round.
Well, I think pretty lucky to have two Canadian teams still playing. Being from Alberta, I think we got like six generations of us now. So have two teams here is pretty unique.
So a roller coaster ride for Dallas sport fans with one game seven win. And I mean, just a bloodbath over the Phoenix Suns. Unexpected to be sure. But then a game seven loss and sudden death not that long after. What, few minutes, an hour maybe? The Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins both playing in game sevens this weekend. And very similar, right? The basketball team comes up with a three-point shooting performance for the ages. It's reigning Grant Williams in Boston. They go 22 of 55 from beyond the arc. Meanwhile, the Bruins lose to the Hurricanes in their game seven and they're ousted in this opening round. But hey, it's a good problem to have when you've got two teams in a game seven in the same weekend. Seven game sevens. What? It's never happened before. It's like my welcome back to the sports world. Welcome back to talk radio. Also, Albert Pujols pitch for the first time in his career. I swear, I didn't make that up. The Reds throw a no-hitter unofficially and lose. Didn't make that up either. This was the craziest weekend. And yet Rich on Twitter says the biggest flop was the poor stingray looking up at you. I know, but I was trying to get him in the water. That's it. Did he recognize that I wasn't trying to kill him? I was trying to get him back in the water. Do you think the stingray was grateful when I finally saved his life? With much screeching. Yes, but I didn't get stung. And he was still alive when he got back in the water. I saw him flap his wings and move away.
Whether he knew that you were helping him or not, he wouldn't have been able to have that thought had you not helped him. So that's all you got to know.
But very good point. Thank you. I feel better now. It was my attempt to save the ocean, putting the stingray back in the water. And that's not even the best animal story of my vacation. So I will be spreading animal stories in, I promise. In fact, some of the stories that I have, you're going to laugh. You can almost go through the photos I put up on Twitter and see the wide array of weather that I experienced in North Carolina last week. Everything from gale force winds and temps in the 40s to bright sunshine, dolphin swimming, and a sunburn because the temps were in the 80s. Oh, and thunderstorms like nobody's business. And a dog who did not care that it was vacation. Her earliest wake-up call was 5:15 a.m. I wasn't laughing at the time. One morning, she actually slept until after 7:30. Yeah. So ask me how many times I was still awake when the show started. That would be the big
I'm in a
zero.
Glass case of emotion.
Yeah. I drank so much coffee last week. No, I loved it. It wasn't because I needed it. It was because I wanted to. And I'll just blame Penny because it's convenient. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, by the way, if you miss Penny playing in the sand, she is the sweetest puppers. Even at 12 and a half, she got out there and she was running around like she was a frisky puppy until she started to limp. And then we had to take a break. 12 and a half year old dogs are not supposed to be running around in the sand, but she's an Aussie and this is her love. So she stuck her face in it and she ran all around and then she plopped down next to me until she could get up again. I swear we're going to put some photos up on Facebook as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Monday to you.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Podcast.
Grant lines up a three. Got it. They're daring him. Grant Williams is saying you have to be the hero, and he's starting to knock him down. His fifth three of game seven. Boston by 13. Giannis gallops up the middle of the floor, turns Horford around, scoops it up, and misses another layup. Giannis has left some points on the table here in game seven. Tatum finds Grant Williams for his seventh three of game seven.
It's sandwich time, man. Damn.
25 for Grant Williams. Boston by 16. Horford sets a screen. Tatum up fakes, goes to Pritchard. Pritchard thinking about it. Step back. Three. Got it! A legendary moment for Peyton Pritchard, reprising the Kelly Olynyk stretch in game seven.
We felt we were very close to having a really good game offensively, kind of blowing it open. Hadn't played our best and got some tight wins, but it's great to save our best for last as far as that, and then defensively as well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ime Udoka, first year head coach of the Boston Celtics. Remember, a major shakeup a year ago, and Brad Stevens moves into the front office. Danny Ainge steps down, though he was in the building for Game 7 at TD Garden on Sunday afternoon, and now the Celtics are able to close out the Bucks with what was definitely a breakout shooting performance, not just for Grant Williams, but for the Celtics as a whole from deep. 22 of 55 from downtown. I don't even need to give you a whole lot of other stats or analysis when I tell you that they outscored the Bucks from three-point land by 54. Right. That's a major disparity. 54 points. That's how many more the Celtics had from beyond the arc than did the Bucks. Milwaukee was broken from three. Celtics lived by the three. Bucks died by the three on Sunday in Game 7. And for those of you who have good memories, or you're Celtics fans, or maybe you're a Cavaliers fan, you may remember Game 7, I believe it was Eastern Conference Finals. So I don't think it was the same round, but 2018, spring of 2018, the Celtics and Cavaliers, The Celtics could not hit the broadside of a barn from downtown. And they just kept shooting him and kept shooting him and kept shooting him. And I remember it distinctly because the same day, or maybe it was the same weekend, the Houston Rockets were also in a game seven and also were abysmal from three-point land. And the two storylines were so similar and so frustrating. And I'm sure that was the case for Milwaukee. The problem was nothing was working in the paint either. They were definitely tired. Giannis admits that he had tired legs at the end of this game. And in the paint in the second half, he was missing layups and finger rolls. He was only 3-for-11 from in the paint in the second half. Meanwhile, the Bucks only managed 1 three-pointer on their 13 second half attempts. So it did go from bad to worse. Though they are the defending champions, so, you know, let's not cry for me, Argentina. Or I guess Budenholzer can do the crying.
Some nights the ball, you just can't get it in the basket. And, you know, whether it was, you know, just there was enough, you know, just, I mean, and Boston was phenomenal. So, but it would have been great if we, you know, make a few more, you know, whether it be layups or open threes and things like that, or, you know, some shots that are in and out. But that's the sport. That's the playoffs. That's the game. I couldn't be more proud of the team and the competitiveness and the character and the toughness. And it's a great group. You know, we've been through a lot together, a lot of basketball. You know, we've had success, and now tonight, you know, we hit a wall, or we met our end.
It gets tougher, you know, from first round, second round to the third round. You know, Milwaukee's a great team, extremely well coached. All of those guys over there, you know, most of them are champions. Obviously, they did it last year, so it was not easy at all. You know, gotta give them a lot of credit and respect. They made it, you know, extremely tough, and we had to earn this.
I did not put the Milwaukee Bucks into our poll of most impressive playoff flops so far because I didn't think this was a flop. Their three-point shooting was a disaster in Game 7. But this team played the last 10 postseason games without Chris Middleton. Huge, huge difference. And P.J. Tucker with the Heat now, who are into the Eastern Conference Finals. So they're not the exact same team that they were last year at this time. And you may remember, just to kind of highlight the disparity or the difference, this time last year, close, they collapsed, and I mean major, embarrassing, in a game 5 against the Brooklyn Nets, courtesy of Kevin Durant, who had like 170 points in that game. So they lose, they're on the brink of elimination, they win game 6 at home, and then they have to go on the road and beat Brooklyn in a game 7 to advance to the East Finals. They did it. And that was the doorway to being world champions. Not this year. Celtics worked their arses off to earn that 2 seed. And that wasn't necessarily the goal. But you remember, they were a lackluster defense. They were a 500 team, even a bit below 500. And Udoka challenged them to become a defense-first team, and that the offense would come. Marcus Smart being a major part of what they were able to accomplish over the final 2 months of the regular season. And they were prepared for this. And the 2 seed certainly helped. The fact that they had the home court advantage. And those are some friendly rims. But 18 three-point attempts for Grant Williams. I mean, they weren't telling him that he had the red light.
Grant played great tonight. You're right. He took more shots than anybody on the team. I think that's a first. He took 18 threes. I told him, don't get used to that. But obviously tonight we needed it. He came up big, played amazing, had 27 points.
For me, it was just like, all right, they're encouraging it. Like, might as well take advantage. So each one, as time went on, got more comfortable, kept shooting. And then I guess he made a joke. I shot 18, and that's most probably threes I've shot in my life in a single game. So it was fun, but it's just great that we got a win.
Grant Williams lighting the garden on fire, but this is after he misses first of his first 7, right? So failure is only the end of your story if that's where you stop. Nah, just keep jacking him up. 18 threes. And the Celtics make 22 of 55 from beyond the arc. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are asking you the most impressive, and by impressive, we're being a bit snarky, most impressive playoff flop of the postseason so far. You can find that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I also retweeted. And yay, Facebookers, we are so late to the party, but the first of a set of photos. So I promise there will be a lot more photos up on Facebook, but your very first ones, well, they're chosen because I know this is what you want to see first. Penny playing in the sand. She refuses to take selfies with me. That's all I'm going to tell you. I mean, I look hysterical in the selfies. The dog, meanwhile, is having none of it. So anyway, you can check that out. First set of photos, first set of vacation proofs, evidence that I was actually at the beach. Those are on Facebook now, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're taking, of course, your responses to most impressive playoff flop to this point. So then on Twitter, I posted a bunch of photos. You haven't gotten many of the stories. I promised you stories. I really haven't gotten to the stories because, well, seven game sevens, including sudden death. And if that weren't enough, did you see the big story yesterday afternoon coming from the NFL? I don't get it. There's something more to the story here. Drew Brees is not going back to NBC, according to a bunch of different reports. This whole media, should we call it musical chairs? Should we call it a merry-go-round? It's spinning so fast that if you don't hang on, you're gonna fly off. Maybe that's what's happening with Drew Brees. I'm not sure. There's no reason given. There is some speculation in the New York Post that this was mutual and that Brees wants to do more games as an analyst and not as much in studio, and NBC just doesn't have the inventory for him to do so. So now the speculation becomes, will he go to Fox? Oh, I wonder if Greg Olson is sleeping well tonight. Because Greg Olson would be the number one guy until he's essentially a seat warmer for Tom Brady. That's also something that happened last week that I saw and thought, you know what? I'm so glad I don't have to talk about that right now. Anyway, Drew Brees himself will not confirm or deny. So the Twitter sphere, it was blown up by Drew himself. Because he put this on Twitter: despite speculation from the media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. Maybe it's not his decision. That's my side note. He goes on, I may work for NBC. I may play football again. Flag football, right? He must be talking about flag football. Co-ed at the gym? No? Intramurals?
Can't be NFL football.
Intramurals?
Another year of college eligibility, maybe somewhere that we don't know about?
I mean, if J.R. Smith can go back and be a world-class golfer, then yeah, why right? not Drew Brees? I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour. Please don't do it. The senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. All right. Well, so that's another twist into this crazy media musical chairs in the NFL with Amazon entering the fray and all of that. We'll get to the Tom Brady sometime this week, for sure. If you're interested, though, in hearing a little football talk, hey, that was part of my Dallas conversation with Mike Leslie as well. So check that out on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. I teased him about the fact that the Dallas Cowboys actually took a back seat this weekend with a pair of game sevens. That's kind of funny. So yeah, there is a lot that we did not get to on this edition of the show, but there is certainly a lot that we were able to cram in. So off and running, we've got conference finals coming up in the NBA. We've got second round of the Stanley Cup postseason. Let's see if Albert Pujols pitches again. Can the Cincinnati Reds actually fall any farther? This might be rock bottom. It might not, considering the Reds. So there's just a lot we'll do, but I do promise there will be more stories from vacation coming up, because I know you all want to hear about my horseback ride. I did not fall in. I did not fall off or fall in. I didn't got bucked off. Nothing like that. But thanks for welcoming me back and for hanging out with us. And I will talk to you on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.